and that's all, folks.
Welcome to the two-video edition of the No Mind Podcast. My name is Mitch Maxine. As always, if you have any comments, questions, blah, 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 send them to either my personal Facebook page, the No Mind Podcast Facebook page, or drop me an email at nomindpodcast2021@gmail.com. I know this is starting to sound like old hat, but we've got the gang here together again. Let's start with Darren. Hey, Darren, how you doing, man?
Good to be here once again. Looking forward to it.
Lenny, what's going on, man?
Hey, highlight of the week this is now. Friday nights, but a far side of it. Mitch, Bob, and Darren.
Is that voice dripping with sarcasm? It's hard to tell. And Bob. Hey, Bob, what's going on? Don't say it's boring.
I'm freaking starting to like this. I don't know what's going on.
There we go.
So the premise of this podcast is... we've each chosen a couple of martial arts videos to watch, and we're going to critique them. The only provision was they couldn't be martial arts movies videos, so these are actual real-life martial arts videos.
Hey, hang on. Make sure you mention that these are ridiculous and stupid or bad martial arts videos.
There's good in all men.
And women.
So we're going to watch the videos one at a time, and then we'll come back, and we'll just go around the table and comment on them. Let's go around the table once, see if anyone has anything to say before we get going. Lenny, anything you want to say?
No, I'm really actually looking forward to this one because what I really liked about the last night was the element of surprise when we sprung questions on each other. And now tonight we're going to open these. It's like Christmas morning opening videos if you don't know what they're going to be.
The hell kind of Christmases did you have?
Oh, you don't. That's a whole podcast in itself. But it's really, delighted to be back on. It's, as always, an honor. The entertainment and intellectual value of these alone is phenomenal. Absolutely.
Darren, anything you'd like to say before we get rolling here?
Yeah, actually, like on a serious note, regarding the videos that we're about to see, and obviously we have no idea what we're going to be viewing, but just based on what I thought the premise of the podcast was and the videos I sent, I'd just like to comment in the sense that there's such a variety and abundance of instructional videos on the internet in a variety of martial arts. And I tend to find them falling into a few different categories. And you would get somebody, while we might be making fun of particular videos depending on the quality of them and who's teaching, but some of the ones that I view that I get a good laugh out of, the person that's actually creating the video is highly skilled in the art that they're trying to portray. And it could be the fact that that's the art that they've become proficient in. They've never gotten in a street fight, so they don't know that the techniques they're teaching are ineffective in a real-life situation. But that's not to take away from the years of dedication that they've done to be able to proficiently execute those techniques. It's just that they're ineffective, which we might find amusing because we realize that they're ineffective because of our experience in them. And then you get the other people that might fall into a category where they are aware that they're ineffective, but it is their art, and they're just passing on the art to anybody that's interested in learning it, in which case there's nothing wrong with it. And then you get the third category, which I find the most amusing, is when somebody is not proficient in their art, and they've had the balls to go on and create a video which clearly the techniques will not work in a real-life situation, and their demonstrations of them are so bad that it's laughable. Those are the two videos I submitted. But it's just to say, some of the videos, like I've watched videos where I found funny and ineffective, but the person teaching the videos is actually a highly qualified instructor in whatever art they are. It's just kind of a caveat to say, we're not necessarily making fun of the instructors if they're good at what they do, but the video sucks. I don't know. The videos I went, those particular people are not effective. So that's my statement.
Darren brings up a good point because, look, while we specifically chose videos that we don't think portray the martial arts in its most glamorous or effective light, I'm going to make the attempt to find some good in these videos. I don't want it to be just a let's point and laugh kind of thing. I want to see if we can actually draw some some good conversation and maybe some value out of these things. I have no idea whether we can or not. I don't know what videos you guys chose. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Bob, anything?
Ever the optimist, Mitch.
Well, I keep asking you guys on the podcast and you keep coming on. So, Bob, anything you want to add before we get started?
Darren made some great points, and one of the videos that I chose was exactly about that. Somebody who's actually good at what they do just seemed to be a little deluded in how good it would work and how well it would work. But anyway, I'm ready to go on.
All right, so we're going to pause the podcast, and we'll be right back, folks. Okay, folks, we're back. We just watched the first...
And we're back.
Oh, fucking hell.
I can barely remember what we just watched.
All right, folks, we're back after watching the first video. It was an Aikido video sent in by Bob, so I'm gonna flip it over to Bob. Bob, comments?
Yeah, please do.
Sorry, Bob, I got to interrupt. Just for the folks who are listening, I'm going to be linking all of these videos on the No Mind Podcast Facebook page. So if you want to watch the videos along with us, just go to the No Mind Podcast Facebook page. All the videos will be linked there. Okay, so having said that, Bob, go ahead.
First of all, this is the style of Aikido that I studied for a number of years. What rank? I forget. Shodan.
Throw that out there humbly.
Yeah, humbly. Actually, humbly, yeah, because Shodan means nothing in most... anyway, it doesn't matter. So, I loved Aikido. I still do, because of its aesthetic qualities. It's not... It looks beautiful. It feels beautiful. It's a lovely art to practice. It's like judo. When you do a judo throw properly, it just flows and feels great, and under the constraints of the art of the rules that you follow, it works beautifully. And it's the same with Aikido. Under the constraints of what you do during the practice, it's wonderful to do. However, the people who purport to be the best, they go too far, and they think that it's actually works, and they think that it's practical, and this is the result, and it's unfortunate. It's a whole mishmash of yes and no's in my mind about, I wish people could understand what it's about, but even the leading guys who do it don't understand what it's about. That's where it is for me. I'm just a mess.
There's a couple of things about that video that sparked my interest, other than the absurdity of it. I've worked out with high-level Aikido guys. We did a seminar a couple of years ago with a guy named Chris Johnson, who I respect greatly. He's a really good teacher and a very good Aikido practitioner, and by my reckoning, has no such illusions about the practicality of Aikido. He studies it for the beauty intrinsic in the art form. That video shows an aging... Bob, who is the guy in that video?
Shioda. His last name is Shioda, and he's the head of the Yoshinkan style.
So he's the head of the style.
Yeah.
Now, he's doing some things in that video that I think we can all agree are nonsense. The slightest...
By my judgment, he's doing it to try to show off the style, but most of all, his mastery of the style.
Now, as I understand it, and Bob, you're the most learned in Aikido. Aikido is dependent on the compliance of the uke. Is that right? Of the
Just gonna there's say no
that.
Question.
Just going to say
they're,
that. Yeah,
they're dancing. They're dancing. That's all it is.
But how far does that compliance go before it starts to approach the ridiculous? What I saw in that video was student capitulating to the higher ranked guy in a non-realistic way.
I see that in many martial arts and many demonstrations where the highest ranked person has these special powers that, that the the lower people just don't have, and here's what the martial art is capable of. It's just ridiculous. It's just out of here. It's just out of there.
Lenny, out there. Lenny, what do you think?
Some of it struck me like some of these no-touch chi masters. You know, and I don't know if the students that were with him were told to just comply, or is this the way? I have so many questions. Like, is this the way they train, that I'm going to do this, you must do this? Because to me, it's just so impractical. Like, we were lucky enough to have a guy who was pretty skilled in Aikido here, did a night with us a few years ago, and I found it really fascinating and interesting. Some of it was really practical, some of it was kind of okay, not so practical. But that, for a guy who's supposed to be at the pinnacle of instructors, it's just, it belittles him and it belittles the students. You're sitting there going, oh no, please, why?
Darren, what do you think?
I think the same thing. Like, I dabbled in Aikido many years ago, and it just, at the time, it wasn't for me because I was looking for practical applications. But I did find a lot of applications that were practical in the overall art itself. So if you were trying to study it to be practical, you can take elements from it that definitely work. There's no doubt about it. There are elements that work. But as Bob said, I wouldn't call it a dance, but it's an art form. And I think it's a really beautiful art form. You know, I liked it. I saw a lot of uses that I could get out of it. But I couldn't continue to train it because I would only want to learn what worked. So I kind of dropped out. But at the same time, you appreciate the art for what it was or is. But then when you watch a video like that, it almost, not desecrate, but degrades the art in a sense that you're going to portray that as something ridiculously effective that might lead a student that might otherwise go to an art that is effective and end up there for the wrong reasons. And I think that's the most negative thing, is when you get led into an art for the wrong reasons. If you go to Aikido for what Aikido was meant for, you can flourish and really enjoy yourself and learn and grow with that. But if you're going based on that video, it's just all the wrong reasons.
I think the phrase "from the sublime to the ridiculous" really applies to that video. Like, I think Aikido is a, like we've said, it's a beautiful art form, and within the confines of what it is, it's very, I'm not going to say practical, but it fulfills the promise of what it is within it, the confines of the style or of the art form. But Bob, and correct me if I'm wrong, even you, like, you've got a black belt in Aikido. You look at that video and are shocked or offended or amused. I don't know what word you want to use, because that video takes something that I see as a beautiful and lovely art form, and it reduces it to a laughingstock.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, and everything you guys have said rings exactly true. I'm not sure whether it's in that video clip, but there's a video clip of the same guy whose assailant is in front of him, and I think he's grabbing him or something, but he steps on his instep of his foot, and the guy collapses! He collapses! What can I do? I can't! Oh, it's appalling, but the thing is, there's this tendency in people who lead a style in trying to show off the virtues of the style to go way out of bounds, and that's what happened here. That's all.
Before we go on to the second clip, anyone else have any final comments?
Oh, sorry, me. I love Aikido. I love Aikido, despite that shit.
That's right. I think for anybody listening to the podcast that's interested at all in Aikido, do not base your presumption
yes.
on that video, I'd like to say.
I think that goes for all the videos we're going to watch tonight.
Or with Steven Seagal. Don't look at Steven Seagal.
Or us. For God's sakes, don't listen to us.
No, we're here to educate.
And illuminate.
And be educated.
And be illuminated.
Okay.
Fornicate.
And be fornicated.
Edit.
Exactly. All right, folks, we're going to go on to the second video. We're going to pause the podcast. We'll be back in a minute. Okay, yeah. Folks, we're back. As you can hear, we're back from the second video. Let's start with Darren. Darren, what do you think?
I don't know. I actually don't know what to say about it. It was just such a mishmash of nonsense. And here, like, anybody that's done any martial arts can watch that, regardless of your style or art. It was pathetic, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
The thing is, they think they're doing good martial arts.
That's the weird thing, and that's the disturbing part. And I was actually looking for some positives. Like, despite, okay, there's a whole bunch of guys later on, for the people that were watching, at the two-minute mark, about 10 or 15 of them do a kata. But they seem to be all doing it in their own speed, in their own way, and nobody's really putting anything into it, and they're just trying to do it as fast as possible. And it just made no sense. None of them demonstrated that they're at a black belt level, regardless of the style or your interpretation of what a black belt should be. None of them looked like they were at any kind of higher level.
Hello?
Tumbleweed. Is Mitch gone?
Where's our fearless leader?
I'm back. Damn mute button.
That's weird when you don't respond.
Sorry, guys.
I think you're off physically making yourself sick after watching that one.
Okay, Bob, what do you think about that video? That just makes it easier for me to edit. Go ahead.
They must have had something in, like, what were they thinking? What is their style? Why do what they did in the way they did it? Was the object to do it as fast as possible? Like, do you have to beat the other guy next to you?
Well, mission accomplished.
Except for the last guy.
Yeah, whoever finished last was last. But it's a pretty good candidate for shitty martial arts.
Lenny.
God, where do I start? I think what worried me most was the fact that so many of them were wearing black belts.
That's what I said.
You know, and not even that. The spectators around the outside of the auditorium were...
They were wearing black belts too. Yeah,
to be honest with you, I thought it was being played in fast motion. I didn't think it was an actual time. Okay, I've seen some katas from different styles that are done at different speeds, but I've never seen anything like that. Words fail me. And
so you were impressed?
Impressed? Maybe that's stretching a bit. I was perplexed.
We've heard of synchronized kata. Maybe they were trying to just do the opposite.
No, maybe that was Domino's kata, that was. To be honest with you.
Guys, this is the conundrum. Look, the people who go to that club, wherever that club is, and the people who are watching what they do, none of them know anything about the martial arts. And this is true of any student who walks into a karate dojo for the first time. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what's good, what's bad, what's right, and what's wrong. So they come up through the ranks in a club like that, doing whatever the hell they were doing in that video, thinking that this is good martial arts. So this brings up the question, what makes what we do good and what they do bad? And it also exemplifies the responsibility that instructors and club owners have to educate themselves on what good martial arts is. And that's a whole other podcast, but I want to go around the table once and say, and ask that question. What makes what we do good and what they do bad? Bob.
It brings me back to the method by which I chose a karate club when I was 15, and that was their placement in a phone book. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Nobody knows when they're going into this how to choose. And it's only by, what, 40, how many years? 40,
72.
Of figuring out what's going on. That's all it is, and that's all we can do.
Okay, but Bob.
With the internet now. You should be able to figure this shit out. Come on.
So 30 seconds, Bob. What makes what we do good and what they do bad?
The only thing you can say is ours works.
What does works mean?
It's practical.
When was the last time you got into a street fight?
Yesterday, my friend. What time is it?
I'm going to kick your ass.
Do you want to start one right now?
Exactly. I'm going to kick your ass the next time I see you. Okay, Darren, what makes what we do good and what they do bad?
Well, I think the easiest way to put it is, like, when you're talking about someone walking in and not knowing what's going on, if you walk into a gymnastics class and you want to learn gymnastics, you walk into a club and they're doing that kind of shit that we just watched, you immediately know that that's ridiculous. So if the people doing the gymnastics look ridiculous, you're thinking, okay, that doesn't look like a backflip, that doesn't look like a somersault, a cartwheel, a roundup, whatever you're doing.
I'm going to counter that by saying gymnastics has a much broader public face than karate does. When people go, you're right, if someone watches the Olympics and they see gymnastics, and then they go into a shitty gymnastics club and they see stupid gymnastics, they'll know it's bad. But most people still don't have an understanding of what even basic karate looks like. So they walk into a karate dojo, they have nothing. They've got nothing to judge by.
You're probably right, and in the sense that if you, like, obviously what these guys just demonstrated on whatever format they were doing there is not what they would do in their dojo. So if you walked into the dojo, maybe they are doing techniques and stuff like that, and if you've never done it before, you're not going to know whether those techniques are good or bad or effective or efficient or proficient. So yeah, no, I guess that's
so, yeah. Okay, Darren, before we go to Len, 30 seconds. What makes what we do good and what they do bad?
I think exactly what Bob said. You can clearly see by what we watched in that video that is ineffective. It serves no purpose. It doesn't do anything. I don't even think that works on your cardio. None of those people were in proper stances. I don't know if they have any flexibility. They certainly don't have technique. Even the speed, well, what everything they were doing was fast. It wasn't technically fast in the techniques they were doing. And again, it's to the layman that might be listening to this, you might not see it, but Jesus.
I can't. Come on!
It's Jesus. Difficult for me to. I can't explain it verbally. It's just I'm so appalled at what I saw. I don't know how to explain how inefficient it is. I'm okay. Out. So, like a Dragon's Den. By what I saw there, I'm out.
I'm out. Okay, Lenny, what do you think?
The fundamentals for me for martial arts is, first of all, is it effective? So, to be effective, I got to avoid being hit. So, what I got to do, I got to learn to block. I don't think in any of the, we'll call it sparring at the start, there was a single block. Then I've got to know how to counterattack and how to strike and where to strike. Was there any of that visible in any of those? I don't think so. There wasn't one effective punch or a properly executed punch.
I don't think there was a punch.
I don't think so. And then there was no proper kicks. And so, fair enough. So that to me takes, this is not teaching me how to defend myself. It's not teaching me how to counterattack. So on that basis alone, it's ineffective. Then
you thought this through way more than I did.
You okay. Just wrote it off and left it at that. No.
And then when I got to the kata, it's kind of, come on, guys. I mean, the style I do, I've got katas that I do, and it's. I will talk about other variations of my style later on because a couple of my videos involved. I've seen katas destroyed for speed, and it's kind of, no, dude, that's not why you're doing that. It's not to get through this as quick as you can and just... Then it just turns into dance. It's speed dance. So, yeah, it's ineffective because it's not teaching you to defend yourself and it's not teaching you to counterattack in any way.
I want to throw my own perspective on this before we go to the third clip. I'm going to judge what I saw in that video the same way I judge when I'm watching a tournament. So let's start with the sparring. I judge on power, timing, distance. None of that... Well, they were fast, I'll give them that. But there was no timing, there was no distance, there was no accuracy, there was no finesse to what they were doing. In terms of the kata, there was no intent of technique. It just seemed that it was get from one end to the other as fast as possible. I'm with Darren, I'm appalled by what I saw.
Yep.
And I don't know how clubs like that exist, let alone thrive, which I assume they do.
The only thing we can do to counteract this is with podcasts like this.
Changing the world one bad video at a time.
What I was going to say is because we kind of discussed prior to the podcast itself, was that we're not here to just berate all the videos if we could find any positives in it.
Exactly.
And I watched that, and I tried to think positives, and it's funny, Mitch mentioned the speed of the kicks that they were doing. I was thinking, okay, that's kind of positive, but there's no one blocking or countering. Therefore,
Aaron, you got to say speed of the leg movements. They weren't proper kicks, man.
No, yeah. Speed of the leg movements.
The poor guy's trying to find something positive.
That's what I was trying to do, and I actually couldn't. I didn't see one thing out of what I watched that was that I could say.
Yeah, I got to.
They had arms and legs. Come on.
Okay, folks, we're going to go into the third video. We're pausing, and we'll be back in a second.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Okay, folks, we're back from the third video. Some very intricate knife defense techniques. Sorry. Okay.
Techniques.
Lenny, what do you got to say for yourself?
Yeah, Lenny.
I have two
Thanks
words,
a lot.
two words combined I have a major issue with, and it's knife defense. You don't mess with a blade unless you have the biggest chair in the room to hit the guy with and run like hell. Like, you've seen in this video, intricate wrist locks and taking a belt off to tackle a guy, and it's just... We spoke the last video about practicality. It's not practical. It's just... And stuff like this is going to get someone cut or killed.
It's dangerous.
And that's the biggest sin, is this is not a practical application of any kind of self-defense against a knife, and anyone who thinks it is could get seriously hurt or killed watching that video.
Absolutely, and that was you beat me to the punch there, Mitch. No, you're fine. That's my main issue with this. And there's a million and one knife defense techniques on YouTube and the internet, and every single one of them you go, please, no, just don't do it. Run like hell. That's all I've got to say.
We've playfully done some knife things in class a long time ago, and all you do is you take a magic marker, hold it in your reverse punch hand, and have somebody try to defend themselves against you marking them up with this fucking marker and watch how black they become. It's obvious that this stuff is such bullshit. It's dangerous bullshit. I hate it, and it's unethical, and I'm done.
Darren?
Bob actually took the words out of my mouth. I was going to bring up the marker thing. I've done various knife seminars over the years, and there are some that work and they're really good. That video was a clear demonstration of what doesn't work, and it almost goes back to Aikido. Obviously the dude with the knife was being compliant to the person that was teaching the techniques, and it would only take one person with a marker to say, okay, I'm just going to attack you with the marker and you do your techniques, and I'm assuming the instructor would be covered in marker.
I do want to make one point. It amazes me in all of these knife defenses how the attacker is unable to bend his wrist and just, like, slash.
Or counter.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Nobody lunges in with one technique with a knife. You're slashing with the knife.
It's the lunging arm. You don't lunge in with the knife. You hold it back. Like, fuck.
So we all had more to say. Okay.
That's fine. I have even more if you want.
I'm pretty sure we're all on the same page on that one.
Yeah.
We're not applauding.
Bad.
Do not watch. Do not join that club.
All right, folks. We're going to go into the fourth video. We're pausing the podcast. We'll be back in a second. Okay, folks, we're back from that video. Darren, any explanation?
I think it was...
What do you have to say for yourself?
I think when we opened the podcast and we were talking about one of the things being somebody that doesn't appear to be proficient in their art and is portraying what the techniques that they have learned in however many years... I don't know how many years it took for those two to get to the rank they're
Months.
At. But... they're actually portraying these as techniques that work, and regardless of whether the techniques work or not, they're not even performing the techniques at any level of proficiency. So even if the techniques that they showed worked, which they don't, they're not even performing it in a way that would lead me to believe that they worked. So when we were talking about the previous video, if you walked into a club and you saw something and said, okay, I don't really know, I swear to God, if I walked into that club,
sure,
and those were the two instructors, I'd be heading out the door. And then if they started demonstrating any of those techniques, it's like, well, you can't lift your leg above somebody's knee. You're not fast. You're not doing this. Again, I don't know. I'd rather hear your guys' opinion because I'm just lost appalled.
A loss for words is probably a good way of capsulizing this entire thing.
This wasn't a demonstration. It wasn't a sales pitch or anything. These people are demonstrating techniques that they honestly believe that they know what they're doing, and what they're doing is instructional and beneficial to somebody.
That's a really good point, and I think this type of video demonstrates the most dangerous type of videos and the most dangerous type of instructors. People who have no clue what a practical punch looks like, clearly, because that guy was not punching with any enthusiasm at all. I'm almost at a loss for words. When people put videos out that portray self-defense and pretend to put it in a practical framework, and it looks like that video demonstrates their level of ability and their perception of what defense looks like. It's dangerous, almost to a criminal level. It's horrendous.
I continue to think about the psychology of the people who do this. The compulsion to think that they're right, that they're good, that they're proficient, despite the obvious evidence to the contrary. It's hard to understand. Unless you think about the need to think that you are good. Everyone's need to think they're good, despite their level, whatever their level of ability, the need to think that they are good, and the need to think that they have to show that they're good, and the need to think that they have to demonstrate that they're good. It boggles my mind.
Okay, Lenny, take us home.
Video upsets me the most of the time because it pertains to the style that I practice. Yeah. Only in name in Kenpo. Yeah. And it's just, oh my fucking God.
Wow, we're listening to somebody who is being completely betrayed by the video he's seeing.
Betrayed? Look, I don't know how many people listen to this podcast, but I can't hold back my profanity enough on this. Okay, I practice what's called traditional Kenpo. There's not many of us left. I don't know globally how many of us left. I don't know how many of us are left in Ireland, but I've watched this American guy. I don't offend anybody, but it's not Kenpo. It is not. Kenpo's origin started in China. It went to Japan. There's so many crossovers of styles. It even branched into jiu-jitsu. There's groundwork in the original Kenpo. These guys, I don't know what they've come up with. I can only presume they're and it doesn't say it in the video, they're based in Hawaii. Maybe they're in a sheltered existence on a small, in the middle of the Pacific. I don't know. I get so frustrated watching this. I'm just, upset isn't the word. I want to scream and put my fist through the screen. That's all I can say. I'm speechless. It's so bad I'm speechless. It's an insult to the art that I practice.
When someone cares about something so much that when they see something and they call it an insult to what they're doing, it's a call to their better natures. I don't know how to put it into words, but it's a great impulse, and I salute it.
I think we've had enough of that video. And for Lenny's sake, we're going to go on to the next one. So we're going to take a pause, and we'll be back in a minute, folks. Okay, folks, we're back from that video. That's George Dillman. Bob?
Well, it's the thing. Everybody interested in martial arts and everybody interested in shitty martial arts knows this guy and knows this clip, but I put it in anyway because it's this guy and it's this clip. Charlatanism at its finest. Everybody knows somebody who does this, and it's interesting to think about.
Bob, I have to interject. I'm sorry for cutting you off. You said everybody knows someone that does this. I don't know anybody that does that shit.
No, I'm not talking about this. What specifically what he does. I'm talking about
I beg your pardon.
People who pretend to themselves a reality that is not real. Everybody knows somebody who's like that, who thinks things of themselves that aren't true. But this is amazing. This is the far end scale of that shit.
Okay, but let me ask you this, because this is the question that comes to my mind when I watch that video. What is the psychology behind the people who go along with what he's selling?
And that's an extremely great point. I recognize it in myself. When you give yourself over to an instructor, you are basically becoming part of a cult. There are let's say you're a white belt student and you join a club, you have to give yourself over to something.
Hold on a second. I just have to interject for a second.
Yeah.
If you're a white belt at Dillman's Club and just you walk up, you stand in front of you or stand in front of him and he looks at you, if you don't fall down because of whatever chi he's projecting, do you not immediately recognize that this doesn't work?
Hang on a sec.
What's the grade structure for that club?
But wait a second. I think the thing is, Dillman and his ilk are smart enough not to expect white belts to do
right.
that. White belts watch. They learn. The higher belts, who are already indoctrinated into his psychotic little cult.
It's not until you're a green belt.
Right. The thing is, Bob's laughing, but I think that's how it works. You're right, Darren. Someone walking in off the street would never fall for that. But
yeah,
they don't.
I saw a Dillman video where some guy called him out now, and he just said, "Don't you're not open-minded enough to accept
exactly. Exactly right. Okay.
But there was
thing. Go, Darren.
It doesn't matter whether you're open-minded, but if you're a student, even if you train for months and months, you must be training in something. So at some
but you're point, but this is the point: you're training in what he's telling you.
Exactly.
You're giving yourself over to the instructor and surrendering.
But you have to have, like, it's different. Let's say you're doing Aikido and you don't believe what the instructor's doing, but if he grabs your wrist and he almost breaks it, you recognize that that technique works. Your wrist was almost broken.
I think what you need to see there,
if you're
Darren,
standing in front of Dillman and he looks at you or he touches you, if that doesn't render you senseless, then you have to immediately realize that that doesn't work.
I don't know, him looking at me would render me senseless.
I'd love to actually see that's obviously a seminar at Dillman's. I'd love to fucking see.
Here's another one.
A Dillman's class. Like, what way does this class go?
Listen, there was when I was training under Stan Petterick in Victoria, he actually sent one of his black belts to a Dillman seminar because he was always trying to incorporate new techniques into his training and stuff. And he sent the guy there to do a seminar, and the guy came back and said, "Nothing. There's nothing we can teach here." And he got up, and Dillman was one of them things that went up and asked for volunteers or whatever. So the guy got up, and he didn't do that thing where you weren't open-minded. Dillman did, I forget what it was. It was some pressure point on his wrist or something that he was trying to do. And obviously it had no effect because it's all bullshit. But during that time, Dillman grabbed his pinky finger and bent it. So he didn't use a pressure point. He bent it, and then the guy dropped. And then Dillman went on to explain how it worked. And the guy just, he didn't figure, like, here, you could get up and say, "Here, that wasn't a pressure point. He actually twisted my finger to fuck." He just walked away, finished out the seminar, and came back and told Dan, "This is what it is. Like, it's complete bullshit. Nothing what he does is work." But that's someone who attended the seminar and came back and said it was bullshit. So how, at what point do the seminars keep going and the students keep attending?
I think,
if it's proven right from the start that it doesn't work.
I think there's a reality that we need to all understand in order to make these kind of videos make sense. And this is a very dark perspective on humanity, but I believe it wholeheartedly. I think most people are stupid and most people are willing to be led.
Suggestible.
Yes, exactly. That's a better word. Most people are suggestible. Most people want to follow the direction that they believe is a good direction to follow. So if someone goes to Dillman in the first place, they believe on some level that it's a good thing to do.
Mitch, can I come in on that one?
Please.
This is a huge point. I'm probably going to cause a political mess with this one. I would love to see the demographic of who attends George's seminars. You guys are Canadian, I'm Irish. I can't think of anyone, and dare I say, outside certain places in America, who would accept that bullshit.
No way. It's ubiquitous. It's all over.
Really,
like,
you think?
Yes. It's
okay,
like,
but okay, wait a sec. Bob's right. But Len, you're right too, in that people tend to congregate with people of like minds.
I don't mean to offend American people in general.
I have to hasten to add. I know lots of Canadian idiots, so.
Okay, fair enough. if it means we're retracting the statement, fair enough. But I cannot see anyone this side of the Atlantic accepting that.
I don't know. I know a lot of people who aren't necessarily they're unintelligent. They're willing
to put across you there, Bob. Sorry.
No, they're willing to be led. Bob's term suggestible is perfect. There are so many people who are willing to surrender themselves to the belief of whatever authority figure is standing in front of them. And that explanation on its own explains that video.
But that's fine if you're talking about religion and you're just led to belief because you can't really prove whether it's right or wrong. If you want to believe in a certain religion, you can go along with it based on whatever it was. But when you're going into a martial art, if you're standing there, you can believe in it. But if the guy touches you and you don't drop to the mat, that's the end of the belief.
It's the same impulse, I think.
Then explain that video. Why do people believe what he has to say?
To me, it's actually unexplainable. I don't understand. It's so confusing. Because you'd only have to attend one of his seminars to walk away and go, well, that doesn't work.
The thing is, most people who attend his seminars walk away going, I think that that's true. I think that's a thing.
But if they tried it, even if they got home and tried it on their wife or spouse or whatever.
The same people that believe in Reiki and stuff like that. No fucking healing.
You can't just walk home from the seminar and do it. Are you kidding?
Hold still, dear.
You gotta spend 10 years doing this.
Good point. Yeah, that's why it doesn't work for me because I'm not proficient at it.
He's tried it.
Either that or my toe is pointing in the wrong direction.
Good point.
You've tried it, haven't you, Darren?
The moon was misaligned.
Oh my God. Okay, let's go on to the next video. Unless anyone has any final comments about George.
Mitch, I got a suggestion here. This should be a 2-episode podcast.
Yeah. Well, Darren's suggestion that we call him George was a good one in the last episode.
Oh, my God. All right, folks. We'll be back in a couple of minutes after watching the next video. Okay, folks, that was a video. You brought that into our lives. What do you have to say for yourself?
I'm midway between an aneurysm and a brain hemorrhage here.
Oh. So hey, again, my father died of a brain aneurysm. I'm offended, you motherfucker.
Did he train in that club?
My father died of an aneurysm as well. So
yeah, my father trained in that club.
And had a brain aneurysm.
Anyway, no, sorry.
Oh, my God.
There's so much wrong. First of all, 7 students testing at the same time from the age of about 12 to mid-40s for a black belt. For me, just doesn't cut it. You've got some guys going for Shodan, you've got some guys going for the 4th, 5th degree, and I'm questioning the standards they pertain to. The first minute, 2 minutes, is them just stepping backwards and forwards with no stance, no practical application, no technical application whatsoever. Upsets me greatly. Secondly, they go into katas. I'm being very diplomatic here.
Slow down on that diplomacy.
It's like Russia versus Ukraine.
Let's not send Lenny to any countries on behalf of Ireland.
And then they go into the cat, and they actually do 2 katas put together. One, the first one we would call blocking form, which is normally done in a very deep horse stance. does not come up from the horse stance for 10 moves and is done with power, slow technique, and it's basically basic blocks. It's the kindergarten kata that you do. It should not be asked in a black belt grade, especially not for a guy going for his fourth degree. And then it goes into what we would call form 5, which is kind of way down the scale, and it's the one of the ones you would learn for a black belt, and I don't know what they've done with it. They've just... and there's four katas in between that, and an amazing kata, form 4. I mean, I need counselling after watching that. I mean, there is not one single person on that floor that would walk into my club practicing the art of Kempo would get beyond yellow tip. I'm sorry. So, yeah.
This is another example of a club that preys on people who don't know any better. And I think most of the clubs that perpetuate a poor perspective on karate, this is how those clubs survive. People don't know any better, and they walk in, and from their untrained and untried eyes, it looks like people know what they're doing. So they do what they're told, they follow the curriculum, they get their belts, they don't know any better.
The detrimental side of that, Mitch, is
what?
If someone comes to me and said, what martial art do you practice? And I say, Kenpo. And the first thing they do is they look up on YouTube. This is the horse shit that they're confronted with. And they go, I'm not going to his club. And I'm trying to put across the point with, no. And I mean, Darren's trained with us. Darren, you've seen what we do. And I mean, it's not that. I'm hoping Darren backs me up here.
Darren's gone. Darren?
Wow, Darren's gone.
No. Well, let's hope he comes back. Look, Len, I trained with you one night in Ireland 5 years ago.
And it wasn't even a traditional Kempo we did.
No, we were just doing an aerobics class.
Yeah, yeah.
But I could tell the work ethic and the perspective that you had just by that class. That's why we've kept in touch. That's why we're friends on Facebook. Because...
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice one, Bob.
Well done, Bob.
Sorry.
Anyway, it's a shame Darren's gone. Bob, what did you think about the video?
No, you know what? I'm not a Kenpo stylist, so it was nice. It was nice to hear. First of all, Lenny knows stuff that I don't and we don't about other styles, especially that one,
and vice versa.
So it's nice to see stuff done and then Lenny comment on it knowledgeably. And then him say that it's shitty.
That's very diplomatic, Mitch. Oh, Bob, sorry, Bob.
Bob,
very diplomatic.
Hey, Darren, welcome back.
Yeah, so I've been here all along, but my voice wasn't coming through. So,
so Darren, your thoughts on that video?
I think it coincides with what I've heard from Lenny as well. To me, it's not so much that a student coming in would be led into something like that. It's more like the students that are there that are black belts, they've been there for years, so they're not new anymore. If you're going for a black belt or a second degree or whatever those guys were going for, they've had time to go to tournaments, they've had time to look on the internet, they've watched UFCs. They're not new to the sport or the art. They've been there for years and years. To watch them perform the way they were, that doesn't make sense. Like,
willfully blind.
See, I don't even know that. Like, if I go to train somewhere, I know my level where I'm at. And if you're getting the shit beat out of you, you know where it is. You know whether that's a good club or not a good club. And you can go on YouTube and you can study things. So when you go somewhere and you're doing a grading and you're like, well, that's easy, I can do that, and I'll get my third degree or my 10th degree or whatever. But you must, at that stage, have been in it long enough that you have some sort of realization. Even just to go to a tournament and watch every other club beat your club because you suck. Then you have to realize it. I just don't understand how you would get to that level and not realize that you and your club suck.
The power of willful blindness is incredible.
See, Darren has a slight advantage there in that he's watched that, and he's also come and trained with us, and he's seen our showdown grades. And you know the difference between them, Darren.
Yeah, that, and, what,
And it's what you're seeing there is like, it's like sticking fucking needles in your eyes going, what have you done to our art form?
The thing is, Darren, I think you radically underestimate the human ability to suspend realism. I think Bob's description, people are willfully ignorant. People want to believe things. People want to believe in something, even if that something doesn't make sense, even if that something flies in the face of all the other evidence that's out there. People are willing to step up and go, this is the right thing. And that's what leads to those videos.
Wait, let me ask you, Mitch, is there anything, like, those people who, sorry for cutting across everybody, those people who go to that club, is there an alternative that they can say, hang on a second, look at this other club, it's so much better? So
of course there are.
They may be blindfully ignorant because there's nothing else on offer.
Or they may be blindfully ignorant because they know that if they go somewhere else, they won't measure up.
But then you can measure up, though, because you can train there. I understand.
Dude,
I understand
what you're
saying.
You're preaching to the choir here. We get it.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand being blinded. Like I actually.
Part of the solution to this is to realize in yourself where you've been willfully blind. That's what I was just going to say. All the time.
I was just going to say that.
Okay, but Bob. Understand something. Bob is right. But the ability to do that is very rare. Most people don't have the ability to step back and go, you know what, this thing I've been doing for 15 years, maybe it's wrong. And that's a sad state of affairs. But it's
well,
the
I
truth.
I think it would have been a sad state of affairs back in the 70s and 80s and maybe even into the 90s. But nowadays, like I said, you only have to go to a tournament and get your ass kicked to know that what you're doing doesn't work.
This brings back...
I saw this coming.
Yeah. my utopian dream when the internet first started up, I thought, what a wonderful miracle of information that's available to everyone. Everyone will have information at their fingertips and will all be well informed, and so things will be perfect.
Holy fucking shit.
What an idiot.
That's a good point. That's a good fucking point, in fairness, now. I would have thought the exact same thing. Now we can all expose everybody, expose all the charlatans, and show everybody what's what. But yeah, no,
but
it's actually more charlatans.
Instead, it nested everybody into their own little bubble. Fucking hell.
Okay, but yeah. I want to make this point. Bob said this earlier with a sarcastic tone, but I'm going to say it in sincerity. It's things like this podcast. It's things like people stepping up and going, this is wrong thinking. That's what changes things. That's what makes people challenge their paradigms and their perspectives. Is people willing to step up and go, this is wrong. This isn't right.
Mitch, who's to say there's not another guy in America or Japan or Ireland or whatever going, the No Mind podcast is bullshit because they're not talking. What we do is great. What they do is wrong.
Great. Come on the podcast.
Good point.
Come on. We'll talk about it. We'll have that dialogue. Look, I'm not saying we're right just because we say we're right.
There's no solution unless we just converse. That's the only solution.
Let's talk about it. Let's have a dialogue about it and let's figure it out.
And then we'll tell them they're wrong.
No, we can
or
that
would show
wrong.
Them
that's
the
only
wrong.
Way.
Right.
You're right, Bob. You're right, Bob.
Okay, folks. Let's go on to the next video. Okay, folks. We're back from the seventh video. Bob, you brought that into our circle. What do you got to say?
It's the whole, I've got a martial art that only depends on my breath control and voice. I could take on anybody. And no, don't hit me. Stop hitting me. Stop it. It's just one of those. Yes. No. That's all there really is to say.
The thing is, this video brings up a theme that's come up from through a bunch of the videos we've watched, which is the capitulation of the students to what the instructor is feeding them. In the first half of that video, that instructor was wandering around his dojo, flipping his hands, and students were falling down. People wearing black belts falling down and flipping over, and what the fuck?
I have to go in here and say, when I was young, I fell for this shit. I was kind of if I was a student of one of those clubs, I would very well might have flipped over when
Bob,
he
what
just
you call young? Sorry, I gotta clarify that. When you were young, please give me a number.
1907.
Yeah. I started when I was 15 at 1965. So, no, 75. So I'll say around there. Okay. I'm embarrassed to say how long I would have fallen for that stuff. Probably for 5 years after. No, it's embarrassing to say longer than 5 years after that stuff. So 85, and I was 25, and it's embarrassing, and I don't want to talk about it. But I was into making up theories about how that could be,
But this is an important point. Bob just said it. You believe something because you trust in someone. You start trying to invent ways to make what they're telling you true. Mm-hmm. The psychology behind this is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Like, you take something that is so patently unbelievable and ridiculous on its face, but people do it and they follow it and they make up reasons in their head why it's not ridiculous. Honestly, I don't understand that psychology.
Oh, but the thing
my point is that I did.
But you don't.
If you take just the psychology, then that fits into a lot of religious and political views.
Yep.
But you can get away with it then because there's no real technical proof. That guy just went and got his ass kicked. He was the instructor. So surely at some point from the time he started training until the time he started teaching until the time he entered that fight, he must have tried what he was doing out. Like, there's no way the very first time he tried it out was on camera.
Unless he made money on it up to then, Darren, and then they're called out eventually.
But why would you go against the MMA guy? That must have been his first time.
That's the question. I don't understand a guy that's. If I'm teaching something,
you have a lot invested in convincing your students that it's true.
Look, let me throw this in there. People who wander into environments that they're interested in but not knowledgeable in are suggestible. It's easy to get them to believe things. My bigger concern are the leaders of those movements, the people who are at the top.
That still believe in it.
Yes, and I'm going to give you an example. It's not martial arts related, but it's relevant. When the whole flat earth thing came out a number of years ago, one of their taglines was, "Why does everybody just believe what you've been told?" And I took that to heart, and I said, you know what? I only believe the Earth is round because people told me it is. So I'm going to investigate it. So I did. And just for anyone who's interested, it's actually round.
What?
But
you're the
evidence?
Do you have any proof of that?
Yes, yeah. Yes, I do, but I don't have time to go into it now. But it's
too much trouble.
No, hang on. No, this is important. The leader of the Flat Earth Society in the States, this moron, and I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to give him any credibility. He was interviewed. I saw an interview on YouTube with him and said, if it was proven to your satisfaction that the Earth is round, what would you do? He said, I would still say it's flat. I've invested too much time and too much energy to change my mind now.
So he just won't budge, regardless of proof.
Exactly. And I think these guys are the same. They've invested too much of themselves, too much of their time, too much of their energy into believing something. They'll make up reasons that what they do is right, even when they're presented with evidence that they're wrong.
Don't get me started with religious people, but
it's the same psychology.
Different subjects, another day.
Anyway, Lenny, you haven't said much. What do you think about that last video?
Lenny, what's going on?
every time Lenny starts talking,
it's a big sigh.
Oh, I don't know.
You dragged me into the pits of despair tonight, guys.
The pit of despair.
The pit of despair.
Yes. As I said to you guys when we were watching the video off recording, is what happens if this guy meets George?
George Costanza?
George Dillman.
Oh, right.
not the MMA guy. I mean, it's just, there's so many questions coming to mind. Is why did he step out onto the floor with an MMA guy when he knew, he has to know, that what he's doing is absolute fucking nonsense?
No, I think that's where Mitch's point comes in, is that I don't think the guy actually knew. I think he was narrow-minded.
Exactly. Did he honestly believe that? You may as well have put a fucking bunch of flowers on the floor and say, defend yourself. You know, it's just... I have to say, with the sequence of videos tonight, we've just gone down and down and down into this of kind of, this is getting worse, and every video I'm going... gets worse. But on the positive side of it, it puts so much good feeling and positivity into what we practice, and that we're saying, okay, at least we hold on to the values of martial arts.
We could pull humanity out a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, I've actually questioned tonight when we've said, okay, this is a martial arts video, and I stand back and go, no, fuck no, it's not. This is a bullshit. It's nothing to do with martial arts. There are guys wearing a gi with a black belt on that has nothing to do with martial arts.
But here's a good point, Len. People who don't know better don't know that.
That's the problem.
But we can't do anything other than what we're doing.
Exactly, right.
I was going to say, how do you counteract that? There's no fucking...
By talking about it. That's the only way.
And I hope to Christ this podcast reaches more and more people to realize, guys, do not... sign up to this bullshit. There's better out there.
He doesn't mean don't sign up to the podcast. He means don't sign... he means don't sign up to those other clubs. The podcast is awesome.
I don't mean don't sign up to those four geriatric drunken guys speaking about my God and living on past glories. But no,
exactly. Ouch.
I'm going to include myself in that. No, seriously. On a serious note, I mean, I hope to God people can see through this and realize there's better out there. I can't say much more. We've disappeared into a fucking whirlpool tonight of descent, of standards just dropping.
You've done well by yourself. Don't worry about it. You put your case forward very well.
Okay,
you know,
guys.
The other thing, too, just to top that off, is even if you are in a legitimate club and a legitimate art, I think it's because of what we've talked about tonight, it's to recognize that if you're entertained by what you're doing and not so much believe the practicality of it, but recognize that what you're doing, like, stop and think about why you're doing it. If you're doing it because you think if you get mugged on the streets, you'll be able to defend yourself, maybe actually question where you are. And you might be at a legitimate club that does teach legitimate traditional values and all that, but it might not be 100% practical.
Yep.
So recognize that and recognize the art you're doing and where it stands in reality and stuff. And it's not to demean the art. It just means for you to stop and think about what it actually has.
That's the hard part for a beginner. What club
probably
to choose?
Yeah.
What are they after? What do they want in their martial arts thing?
Exactly.
Okay, but isn't that where Bruce Lee broke the mold, and that he came back and said there is no one stylist? Like, you know, he wanted to explore so many different options.
Okay, let me put this out there. What about some kid who grew up watching anime, who thinks that chi balls and all that nonsense is true, and that's what he wants, and he finds a club that purports to teach that, and he progresses through that club, like the Dillmans and like all these other guys who do all this nonsense, are you saying that as long as his desire and his need is satisfied, it's valid?
Absolutely. I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you want to read engineering textbooks and that's all you want and you get it, that's great. Depends on what you want. And what you're doing.
Do you guys remember, did you guys watch the movie Role Models?
No.
Yeah. Yes. So there was a dude, the kid that was in there was into...
No, I know what Darren's going to say. There was a kid in there who was into medieval roleplay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what he liked doing. So at the end of the day, everybody got on the bandwagon, and that's what he liked, and he was good at it, and they won. So it was like, no, there's no practicality of it. It's a fantasy world and everything, but that's what he enjoyed doing. So
yeah, but he understood that it was a fantasy world.
Kind of didn't.
It was escapism for him, though, Darren. It was escapism.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was.
There's a lot to unpack here. You know, like,
yeah, I think that's we could delve on this forever, yeah. But let's leave it at what we're doing.
Okay.
In this particular podcast.
Okay, let's go on to the next video. We're gonna pause. We'll watch it. We'll be back in a sec, folks. Okay, folks. So we just watched a video of a guy slamming his head against some boards for about a minute and a half. Any comments? Let's start with Darren. What do you think?
I don't see the point in it. I mean, first of all, never mind getting into board breaking and brick breaking and all that stuff. That's a whole separate entity in itself. But the fact that the guy videotaped himself not completing what he was trying to do. If I wanted to demonstrate to somebody something that I could do, I'm going to edit it until I actually do what I was proposing to do. I don't understand how this guy's videos actually got out.
I agree with that. I think he was trying to make a point. This was an instructional video, and these were the bloopers. I have no idea why he let them get out. He just looks like an idiot.
100%. That's the weird part.
Even when he was doing the breaks with the boards sitting on concrete blocks, he couldn't do them. So,
and even if he did do it, again, this could be a whole other podcast, but even if he did break two boards with his forehead, what did he demonstrate? Technique?
Yeah. I've got a really tough level. Forehead.
but this gets into exactly what Darren was talking about. Is there any purpose or validity to breaking concrete, wood, whatever, in martial arts training?
I think there is to a certain extent. If you're demonstrating the power, that's what you do.
No.
If you've got 10,000 ice blocks and they're strategically placed that if you break the first one, they all go... It's for spectatorship and all that sort of stuff. But if
hardship,
you just have
no.
Wow.
Here,
wow.
We can argue this, and I will argue this point. Not in this particular podcast. It's not an argument. If you want to demonstrate power, how else are you going to do it? You can't punch somebody in the head just to show your power.
Oh,
so
shit.
So you break a board or something like that.
Can
I come in on that?
Work away.
The guy is attempting to smash a board with his head, okay? And you say, yes, it's a demonstration of power. When have you ever seen any martial artist step into a tournament, be it point scoring, be it full contact, be it MMA, be it you knows what, and say, I'm going to attack you with my forehead?
Okay,
MMA. Like, holy shit, MMA for
that,
sure.
That brings me
holy
back.
Fuck.
That brings me
loads
back.
Loads of headbutts in MMA. Loads of headbutts.
Not only that, I was a bouncer for 5 years. I saw a lot of headbutts in practical situations.
Fair enough. I've seen people get dropped all the time by a headbutt.
I don't argue that for 1 minute, but breaking a board with your head. When you can break a board or bust a nose with your head. That's like saying
it's not valid to break a board with your fist, which I understand. Like, I mean, let's go down that road.
Okay. Fair.
Absolutely. Breaking a board with your fist.
I think Darren hit it in that breaking only serves as a demonstration of the ability to generate a certain amount of power and technique.
Darren, I respectfully withdraw my argument. Yes.
No. Beyond that,
there's no value.
Just wait a second.
Hang on, Bob. Let Darren go.
Just for the one thing, I'm assuming only reason you're demonstrating your breaking ability is for advertisement purposes.
Of course.
Or in his case, non-breaking ability.
Or non-breaking ability.
But they got leaked
out. He's trying to shut his club down.
Or give himself brain damage.
Lenny just,
for tax purposes.
Just said something that was really gracious. He fully pulled back his opinion and changed his mind, which never happens in humanity ever.
Actually, that's not true. I think we've all had pause to either at least reconsider, if not change our minds about stuff we've talked about on this podcast.
I just wanted to acknowledge that.
And well, and
no, I had a knee-jerk reaction, and then when it was put in perspective, I was kind of, okay, fair enough, yes.
That's an important point. In perspective, in context, there's some value to it. Not much. Outside of the context, there's not much value to it. So there you go. Okay, we got one video left to go. We're going to pause and watch it. We'll be right back, folks. Okay, folks, that was the last video. That was Darren's, I think. Darren, comments? Yeah.
Like, it's a good one to end with because it's a culmination of all the things that we've talked about throughout this particular podcast, and definitely about the one where, on several levels, if you're a student going into a school, this is what you're being presented with. And also about that whole thing where you guys have said, if you've been believing in this shit however long that you've been training and you think it works, and you're now trying to teach other people of it, that was it. Like, these people clearly are sincere and passionate about what they're doing. They're just terrible at it. They obviously believe that that shit worked. And it, like, to us, it's a clear demonstration of inability. Never mind efficiency or practicality. It's a clear inability. So even if that was an art form, they are not good practitioners at that particular art form. So it's just so difficult to watch. And again, I find it hard to fathom that somebody that would walk into that club would watch that and go, that looks like I might be able to defend myself based on what they just did. It baffles me to think that they themselves, at the level that they're at, which must have mean, here, they might have got fast-tracked to their black belts, but even if they got it in a year, 1 year of training must make you realize that the shit you're doing doesn't work. And it's just baffling. That's all I can say.
Well, Lenny.
See, at the start of this video, they thank, I'm not sure about this one, but the previous one that Darren posted, they thank a grandmaster for endorsing them to show these videos. And that guy has a lot to answer for. No, he has. You may laugh, but seriously, this guy is like, fuck, where do I start?
But here's the question, who's going to hold him to account?
Well, that's a whole podcast in itself, as into a governing body or accountability. I mean, where do you draw the line? Who's to stop me tomorrow walking out the door and open up a new dojo going, this is called Endoso or something like this, and make my own martial art, which is absolute hogwash. But who's going to police it? And that's an entire podcast in itself, because
sure,
that boils down to everything we watched tonight has been different stuff, and we've all gone, this is so bad. But it boils back to, we all come from different styles, but we all have core values. And those core values have been diluted and absolutely fucked out the window beyond belief. Pardon my French, like, you know. you know, let's call a spade a spade.
Sure.
So, I mean, these two guys, and to me, these videos that Darren has posted, they're so close to the bone, because they're supposed to be the style that practice. And I can tell you hand on heart, they are nothing. The only similarity between what they do and what I do, we wear black gi, and that's where the similarity ends. So,
Bob,
you know,
what do you think?
What Lenny says rings really close to heart. The only protection we have from shitty martial arts is the consciences of the instructors of the clubs. And there's no getting around that. The way I think of it is, if you have stellar consciences of the people who run the clubs, you can't help but have stellar students. I'm trying to put out a clarion call for really good, and my words escape me. I'm really trying to put out a clarion call.
I think Bob has been so tarnished by tonight that he's struggling for words.
I really want people to run good clubs.
Oh my God. Not so much with the words.
Think about the children.
It's all about the kids.
That's what it is, but God damn it.
Okay.
Can't go away from me. Jesus Christ.
No,
guys.
Sorry, Bob, Mitch, sorry, I think it speaks volumes, right? Okay, we're all in here, and you know, we chat away, and we chew the fat, and at the end of the day, and no disrespect to Bob, we get lost for words because it's frustrating because we come from a basis of martial arts that's so pure, and it's practical, and it's traditional, and it goes back thousands of years, and we watch all this tonight, and we go, Jesus, how do you get your head around this?
Okay, I want to put this out there. We're going to tie this podcast up in the next couple of minutes. But over the next couple of weeks, let's all search for, instead of videos that demonstrate what we hate in the martial arts, let's find videos that demonstrate what we love in the martial arts.
That's great.
Ooh, love that.
Awesome. Yes, yes.
Because honestly, I think that's going to... Look, it's been easy to dump on all these videos because they're so obviously bad. I'm curious about what we think about what each other thinks of what's good.
Holy shit.
I was going to say throw the cat among the pigeons, but you guys...
Exactly, yeah. So I'll tell you what, guys. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll do that podcast, okay?
Wow, I'm excited. That's awesome.
I love it. Yeah.
Okay, let's bring this one to a close. Last thoughts, Lenny?
Why did you have to go to me for
it? I just want to go to you once where you don't do this.
I'm sorry, but here we go. No. What the positives from tonight is when you look at all the videos tonight and like we're you guys are the opposite side of the Atlantic. Darren's here in Dublin, but he's from, you know, he's studied different martial arts styles. He's got such a knowledge of it. Bob has got such knowledge of different martial arts styles. Mitch, you have, you know, what I'm saying is we watch all this, it's refreshing to see that what we do is keeping the art alive. But it's sad to see how much bullshit is out there. That being said, hopefully we can bring more to the table than the bad side of it. And, you know, I actually look forward to the next challenge of finding the good stuff because I reckon it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I agree. Darren?
I think just to take a light approach, I think this was hilarious, and I think it's hilarious to find these videos on there. And I hope anybody listening sees the humor in it. It's not so much to belittle the people that are doing the videos or to belittle any of the styles that are going on, but just to watch it for what it is. There's some shit out there that's just terrible. It doesn't reflect on the martial arts. It doesn't reflect on any particular style that those videos are portraying. Those videos are shit. It has nothing to do with anything else beyond that. So I hope everybody was entertained by the videos themselves and our discussions on the videos, and don't take that as any reflection on any one of those arts, be it Aikido or Kempo or I was going to say George Dillman, but fuck, I got to draw the line there. That was so pathetic. But you know what I'm talking about, though. It's like you can still train in any of those arts. You just have to find a club that trains properly. Unfortunately, that Dillman shit, there is no club that will properly train that, so block that out and move on.
Bob, final thoughts?
It's been a slice. It's great. It's great talking to these guys, and I can't wait for the next episode. Take it easy.
Okay, folks, we're going to bring this one to a close. Thank you so much for listening. Again, any comments, questions on my personal Facebook page, the No Mind Podcast Facebook page, or send me an email at nomindpodcast2021@gmail.com. Thanks so much. Guys, take us out with the theme song. Go!
Hoppity, beep, 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 beep.